Well, good morning. You know, one of the things that I am very thankful for is, I'm thankful I'm thankful for young men like Stone. You know, and I know that, that Stone is he's an interesting cat. But, he's going to go to school somewhere next year. And I think the latest that, he and I have talked about, he's wanting to do something in broadcasting with sports or journalism, because he knows everything there is to know about NFL football and the college draft. So it wouldn't surprise me at all if one day you turn on ESPN and there's Stone Dog talking about the up and coming draft, or he's got some show on ESPN or ESPNU, and he's talking about about football or something like that. But I'll tell you this, and mark my words. Last week I was prophesying about something, and I will do it again. Stone's going to spend about maybe 5 to 8 years in broadcasting or some kind of journalism whatsoever. And he's gonna be relatively successful at that. But he's just not gonna be happy. He's just not, he's not gonna be fulfilled. He's not, there's gonna be an underlying sense of purpose miss or loss. And he's just not gonna be able to put his finger on it. But then Stone is gonna answer the call. And Stone is going to be a full-time minister somewhere, whether that's youth ministry or preaching or something. And he's going to take a sizable pay cut to do that. But then the first day he's in the office, he's going to realize, this is what I was missing. I mean, is that young man called to ministry? Absolutely. That guy can, he can get up here and he can pour out his heart, and it's good thing. That's what it looks like. And, I don't know how in the world, Jim and Sharon were able to do that. But God is good all the time. All the time God is good. But no, Stone is a great guy. And I'm thankful to know him. And I'm thankful to know other young people that this congregation has produced. I'm thankful to, like we sent JD away. Well, that didn't sound so good, did it? We sent him to college. I'm thankful for Carson. I'm thankful for Gracie and Hope and all the other, and even on some small level, I'm thankful for Jake, for Chance and Spence. The young people that this church is producing. And, it's something that we as a congregation should be vocal about and thankful for. But, I'm thankful for the family that's here. The fact that we can relax around each other. And I think that's such a beautiful thing for people to come into. And I hope that if you're visiting with us this morning, don't let the suit fool you. I break out the vest about once a quarter just because I paid for it. It was $15 extra when I bought the suit. But don't let the suit fool you. Because we're just family. We're just a family that loves each other, that lets each other down, that disappoints one another, but is always there for one another when we need her. We're always there to forgive one another. We're always there to encourage one another. And, we're always there to rib each other about our football teams and where we're from and how we talk and all. And we're just a family. And church is supposed to be that way. It's not supposed to be this real formal, highbrow, do I belong, do I not? Because, man, when Everett says it, he says it right. We are all here and we are all together by the grace of God, not because we have a certain amount of money or not because we have a certain way to talk or not because we know a certain thing, but because we are known by the true and living God. And that brings us together. So don't let the Sunday best be a barrier. If you're visiting with us, I hope you find a family here. Family that can help you as it's helped me and countless other people find God and love God and be loved by God. This morning, if you've got your Bibles, turn to Psalm 100, 3 through 5 is going to be where we start and dive into to some Thanksgiving sermons and Thanksgiving thoughts. And you know, this morning we've talked about and sang about being thankful and entering His gates and entering to know God with a thankful heart, with praise and with love and with admiration. And Psalm 100, 3 through 5 says, "Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His." You know, there are just sermon after sermon in that. I love that proclamation. Know that the Lord, and that's not a you know, it's not repetitious, not repeating himself. You know, he's not saying know that God is God. The Lord, that word, when you see it in all caps, that's the name of God. I am. Know that I am the Lord that Moses spoke to, the Lord that Abraham walked up that mountain and heard the voice of and said, "Don't harm your son." The God that led us out of Egypt, the God that propped us up as a nation. I am is God. Know that. It's He who made us. We are His. We are His people. The sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. And it's that last little part that we're going to jump on. We're going to gnaw on it this morning. And I hope and I pray that will be the Thanksgiving mantra for us this morning. That for the Lord is good. His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues. Because if you were paying attention at the very beginning, remember the video we saw? And isn't that the truth for us? That you know, we've talked about it last week and the week before and a little bit now, that we are living in time. It might not be the end times. You know, we talk about in our class over there in the fellowship hall, we're kind of the oddballs over there. We just sort of don't fit in with the normal Sunday school class. We sort of have a lot of questions and we don't really understand it all. And we talk about stuff like, like where we come from and the contradictions and all of that sort of thing. So if you're looking for a class that is a little bit different, you know, we're over there. And we talk about that, you know, the end times. You know, and for generation after generation after generation, everybody thinks, oh, it's the end times. Because there's wars and there's rumors of wars and there's sickness and there's this and all of these things and there's this Antichrist and that, you know, what all that means. And so we're, you know, I don't know. I don't know if we're living in the end times, but I do know this. We're living in uncertain times. We're living in times where, you know, we don't know. Honestly, we don't know if a lot of our jobs are going to be there next week. That might not be the end times. But it's certainly uncertain times. You know, we don't know if the relationships that we're in, if we're going to have the strength or the faith, or we're going to have the faithfulness from the other side to remain in that relationship. We don't know. Now, that might not be end times, but it is uncertain times. We don't even know if retirement's going to be there. I mean, some people have retired and they've got, you know, this nest egg of funds and have seen that just devastated. And maybe not because of the market or this or that, but just, you know, when you retire, you think you budget all this stuff out and, you know, gas cost $1.50 and now it's $2.50. And, you know, and maybe the budget didn't account for that and here we are and it's just uncertain. And so here we come up on Thanksgiving and we do. We have a pile of things to be thankful for, a pile of circumstances and situations, but we can't help but find ourselves living in uncertain times. So what do you do? What do you focus on? How do you find it in your heart to be thankful in the times that we live in? Because it seems as though we can be distracted away from all of the good and just focus on the bad, and there might be enough bad to go around. What do you do as a people when times are uncertain and we find ourselves needing to be thankful and to have thanksgiving? And we're going to, you know, all of us are going to sit around a table in a couple of days, and we're going to, you know, hopefully your dad or your wife or somebody's going to say, okay, but before we eat, let's all talk about what are you most thankful for and why. We're all going to go, and the answers will vary. And some people undoubtedly will sit there and think, well, I don't know. I honestly don't know what I have. I mean, I've got a job, but I'm so worried about it. And I've got a career, but I don't know. You know, I've got this, but it could be taken away. Or I'm in this situation, and I just don't know. You know, what is there to be thankful for in times of uncertainty? Well, the first thing that I want to give you some answers this morning. I want to give you so that when it comes to your turn, you can say these things and you can believe them in your heart. You can store them up and they can mean something. And what these things do that we can be thankful for no matter what the time is, they give us hope. They give us certainty in uncertain times. And the first thing is to be thankful for God's faithfulness. Remember, we just read in Psalm 100 and verse 5. For the Lord is good and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Now, it's one thing to just state that and say, okay, God is faithful. But how is He faithful? You know, because if we look at the ever-changing circumstances of our lives, it's kind of hard to see. We can say God is faithful, but we have to be able to see that God is faithful. And if you look at the job market or the market, you know, the stock market, or if you look at relationships or our health or all these other things, where is God faithful? In 2 Timothy chapter 2 in verse 19, you know, it says that nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription, the Lord knows those who are His. And everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. You know, He gives us a challenge there about turning away and being His. But did you hear, before we dwell on, we got to be good. Because isn't that where we go? Whenever we read Scripture, and especially when we read challenges like this, that, well, if you're going to be His, you got to turn away from wickedness. And we'll get on that, and we'll key on that. And what will happen is that we will see, well, I'm not really good enough. And so we'll start doubting ourselves. And we've totally missed what He said. See, we'll start dwelling on, I got to turn away. But we miss, nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm. The Lord knows who are His. You want to know how you see the faithfulness of God? It all depends on what we choose to look at. You see, because if we look at outward circumstances and we look at that the situations that we're living in and the job market and the stock market and our health and all, if we look at things that have the potential to change, and we know that they do over the course of our life and generations, all of the things that we dwell on change. If we look at that, I'm telling you, it will be hard, if not impossible, to see and to understand and to appreciate and be thankful for God's faithfulness. Because all those things change, but God never does. You know how you see God's faithfulness? Turn over to Hebrews 6, starting in verse 19. Well, actually, we're going to start a little higher than that. We're going to start in 13. God made His promise to Abraham. Since there was no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself, saying, I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. And so, after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. Men swear by someone greater than themselves, and the oath confirms what he said and puts an end of all arguing. But because God wanted to make unchanging nature of His purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, He confirmed it with an oath. God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, he who has fled to take hold of the hope offered to us may be greatly encouraged. Here's where we see God's faithfulness. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain, where Jesus, who went before us, has entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Now, don't focus on, well, who's Melchizedek and all that. Did you hear what he said? We have this hope as an anchor for our soul, firm and secure. You want to see God's faithfulness? Remember that God has been in the saving souls business since the beginning of time. Since there were souls on this earth, since there were fallen people that needed His salvation, God has been faithful to deliver on that very promise. There is no way to see His faithfulness in the unchanging markets of our society, in the economies or in the relationships that we try to form and to hold on to. But there is faithfulness in the saving of our soul. So if we want to see God's faithfulness, we have to determine one thing. What will we see? What will we look at? Will we put our hopes, our aspirations, will we put our joy and our peace in what we have now or what God promises forever? You see, I'm not going to be able to give you a pile of God's faithfulness because I don't know if you'll choose to make that the anchor of your soul. I can't say be thankful for His faithfulness and here it is and this is what it looks like, because it all depends on what's important to you as an individual. If being with God for eternity is important, then God's faithfulness is real. If tomorrow, living your life, being a banker or an investor or a resource officer, if that's the most important, then I don't have much faithfulness to offer you. But if God is what you want, then we can be thankful. And if we choose to look at His faithfulness, He'll see us through the loss of a job. He'll see us through the transition of an economy. He'll see us through difficult financial times. I could go around this room and I could say, things change and people go away and circumstances, markets are up and markets are down. Financially we're stable and then we're unstable. But I could say to my brothers and sisters, and I could say, is God faithful? Yes, He is. Do you experience financial ups and downs? Absolutely, Shane. But is God faithful? Yes, because those who are His choose to see Him for what He is. Thanksgiving in uncertain times. Be thankful that God satisfies every one of our needs. Not only is He faithful to save our souls and to be the anchor of our hope, but He satisfies each one of our needs. In Isaiah 58 and verse 11, the prophet is talking about the uncertain times that Israel is going through. And he says, don't forget that God satisfies our needs. Don't forget that the need, the universal needs that we all have, God satisfies. You see, because the Israelites, they got caught up in a lot of political things. God's people over the years and the generations have really been prone to allow the current circumstances to define who they were in God. Whether they were politically strong, whether they were politically weak, whether they were bountifully provided for, or whether they were struggling. And Isaiah says, don't forget, God satisfies your needs. You see, this Thanksgiving, we have a choice. Do we focus on what we want, political strength, stability in the region, economic well-being, or Do we focus on what we need? The love, the joy, the peace of knowing the Creator of the universe, knowing the Creator of not only our world, but of our soul, the life giver. Is that enough for us? Is that what we need to know God? Or do we focus on what we want? Turn with me over to Philippians chapter 4. Starting in verse 19. In this passage, Paul is talking about certain needs that he has. He's talking about the fact that he had very real needs in his ministry, and he was commending the Philippians for providing for him, for taking up collections and sending it to him. And he says, there was no one else that took care of my needs. There was no one else who provided for the things that I had to have to survive. And he said that, but you did. And in providing the things that I needed, you shared in my troubles. And he says in verse 14, it was good for you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of my acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out for Macedonia, not one church shared with me. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent aid again and again when I was in need. Not that I'm looking for a gift, but I'm looking for what may be credited to your account. I've received full payment, and even more, I'm amply supplied for, and I've received from those you sent the gifts that you sent. They were a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God, and my God will meet all your needs according to His glorious riches. You see, so often in this day and age, in this life that we live, we're looking for the world to supply our needs out of its riches. You see, the problem with the world's riches, the resources, they're finite. And when we're dealing with finite resources, you know what happens? They run out. You see, in an economy that's based on supply and demand and buyers and sellers and you know, there's a finite amount of each one of those. And if one of those runs out, the other side kind of collapses. If there's no one there to buy, then there's, you know, what you have to sell. There's a finite amount. But we can be thankful for a God who supplies what we really need out of His infinite amount of riches. You know what we can be thankful for is that God's forgiveness for us, His mercy for us, His love for us, His compassion, and His caring for us. It never, ever is limited. It's always there in the abundance with which it started. He says, God's going to provide what you need out of His riches, out of His abundance. We can be thankful that the needs that we have, the real needs, and you know, the only need that we really, really have is to live. That's it. You know, because we might want to live here as long as possible. But the only need that we have is to know Him and to live forever. Because you see, forever is going to happen. Regardless of what we think, regardless of what we think we know, eternity is going to happen. And the only need that we have is to be with God. Let me just tell you, from what I've read, that's going to quickly turn into a want. That's the only need that we really have. And out of His glorious riches, He provides that. And we can be thankful that God protects us. You know, we can be thankful for His faithfulness that never changes. We can be thankful for His satisfying our needs. You know, and then there's the protection that comes with those needs. You know, when I think about God and I think about His protection, I think about His constants of being there to take care of us. I think about an episode where I was at the and I might have shared this with you before, but we were in Florida, maybe it was years ago. And we were on the pier that goes out into the ocean where people fish or goes out into the Gulf. I think we were at Destin and they, people were fishing and bringing in all manner of sea creatures onto the pier. And apparently there's a big old school of stingrays that were going through, and they were about that big around. And there were hundreds of them, and people were catching them, and they were just littered, you know, they were all over the sides of the pier, and they were dying. People were cutting them up using for bait. Well, we just happened to be walking along, and this was long before Hyatt and Hillary, and Hayden was about Hyatt's age or a little younger, and it was he and I were there, and we're walking up and down the pier, and we were there when someone actually caught one of these things. And they reeled it in, and they're pulling and pulling, and so we're all, you know, mesmerized by what's going on, and it's coming up, and he finally gets it above the water, and he reels it in, and he pulls it up over the rail, and there's that stingray, you know, hooked onto a line, and he's just a flapping his wings, and his little tail's going back and forth, and you could see the barb deal on there, and it's going back and forth, and this thing's going crazy, and Hayden's standing right next to me looking, and all he does is he just looks up, he looks at that without moving at all. I'm kind of watching him, and he just raises his hand and grabs my hand and kind of takes a step back and behind me. See, he knew nothing really bad ever happens when my dad's around. You see, there's no situation that I can get into that's potentially dangerous that this guy can't take care of. Now, whether he still believes that or not, but when he was an innocent little child, there was nothing I couldn't handle. There was nothing that I couldn't protect him from. And he knew that, and it was displayed as simply as raising his hand, grabbing mine, and kind of taking a sidestep behind me. Because he was quite certain that whatever that alien was on the end of that line was going to have to go through me to get him. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 3. Praise be to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, never spoil, and never fade, kept in heaven for you who through our faith are shielded by God's power. Not our power, but God's power, the one thing that we all need. If we will depend upon Jesus Christ, the one thing that we all need is richly and graciously, compassionately provided. Our salvation is lavished upon us by the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Savior. And there's no limit to it. There's no limit to God's undying love for us and His desire and willingness to forgive. And He gives us that package and He protects us from our own doubts, from our own sin, from our own ability to bungle the whole thing up. You see, the salvation that we want, that we so desperately need, we're shielded by God's power. We have the ultimate protection. If we will depend on God, if we will simply, in the face of the danger of eternal death, if we will simply reach up and grab His hand, take a sidestep behind our Savior, we are protected for all of eternity. This morning, I believe that in uncertain times, we have plenty to be thankful for. Can we be a people who are not thankful for so much of the changing, shifting sands of this life, but can we be a people who in this time of year and throughout the rest of our days and the rest of our life be people who are thankful for the unchanging, faithful nature of our God that saves us, that gives us life eternally, and protects us forever? This morning, the invitation is this. The invitation is to enter into the gates of the Lord, enter into His temple where there is really something to be thankful for. This morning, if you are here and if you need something to be thankful for, if you need the faithfulness of God, if you need the satisfaction and the protection of God, would you please confess Christ as your Lord and Savior and live forever with Him as together we stand and as we sing.